Good evening, everyone, and I declare this ordinary council meeting, 15th of July 2025, open, and welcome to members of the public. So thank you for coming down this evening. And on behalf of the council, I would like to acknowledge the Whadjuk Noongar people as the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet. And I pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging. Just a reminder that this meeting will be audio recorded, and the reminder is also to turn on and off your mic so that, everything gets recorded. Okay. A reminder that no council decision from tonight's meeting will be communicated or implemented until 12 noon on the first clear working day after this meeting, unless council, by resolution of this meeting, requests the CEO to take immediate action to implement the decision. Record of attendance. We have apologies from Mr. Throssell, CEO, and I acknowledge and thank Mr. Kosian for standing in Jonathan's absence. We have approved leave for Councillor Andrew MacPhail and Councillor Andrew White. I'll just introduce councillors and staff. Ms. Jack Scott, who is the Executive Manager of Technical Services. Mr. Fraser Henderson, Executive Manager of Regulatory Services. Peter Kosian, who is the Acting CEO. The Manager of Corporate Services, Ms. Bron Browning. Deputy Mayor Tony Natale, Councillor Jenny Harrington, Councillor Kerry Donovan, Councillor Cliff Collinson, and Councillor Mark Wilson, and Councillor Cinder Maywood. Mind you, Mark's going a bit grey, I've noticed. mate, hey, I'd be okay. I'd be proud if I had grey hair.
Yes,
okay. All right, brings us to disclosures of interest. Are there any financial? There are none. I declare proximity interest 13.1, which is the variation to the licence agreements. Responses to previous questions from members of the public taken on. Oh, sorry, are there any impartiality? No. Responses to previous questions from members of the public taken on notice. And public question time. Now, we did receive from Mr. Kluver from East Street some questions, I think it was yesterday. Yesterday? Oh, okay. Christine, Ms. Catchpole's worked on those. So what I'll do, I'll read them out, and just so you know what I've said previously, they will be in the minutes, and Council will also forward you a copy of your questions with their answers. Okay? Right, this first one, and I sincerely thank you for taking interest in council matters. I mean that sincerely. Okay, at the council meeting, it was noted that the decontamination of the area bound by Amendment 17, that being 7 to 27 Canning Highway, was scheduled for March 2025. This has not taken place. What are the reasons why? The officer report prepared for the February 2025 council meeting was based on information provided by the Department of Planning, Lands and Heritage at the time of the development application was submitted and assessed. The DPLH should be contacted for further updates in relation to the timeframes for commencement and the completion of the remediation works. Question part B, assuming there is a new timeline, what is it? And the Department of Lands and Heritage should be contacted for further updates in relation to the timeframes for commencement and completion of the remediation works. We reiterate part three. We reiterate our concerns regarding the potential spread of contamination to nearby homes. The situation is very different to that of Fremantle Oval, which, unlike 7 to 27 Canning Highway, is site protected from the weather. And again, unlike 7 to 27 Canning Highway, had no adjoining properties. Accordingly, we seek your assurances that these concerns will be addressed to ensure residents' safety. The concerns are noted. The town issued development approval for site works associated with the remediation of the site in February 2025 with conditions of the development approval. These included approval and adherence to a site management plan, traffic access and parking management plan, and dust management plan, as well as dust fencing of the perimeter prior to commencement of any remediation works. The Department of Water, Environment and Regulation, DEWA, is responsible for regulating the management of a contaminated site. This site will be remediated in accordance with DEWA requirements. Local planning scheme number 4. Why is the town planning consultation being addressed separately in 2026 to areas F, G, H and I, i.e. with F, G, H and I in 2025? Community engagement is being carried out to inform the development of the local planning scheme. The consultation is being staged over the different areas identified in the local planning strategy that are being investigated, as they are areas of potential change with the new planning scheme. Staging community engagement allows engagement with the residents in each of these areas, as they are likely to have different issues and concerns, and it's not practical to address these through a combined community engagement process or exercise. When the draft scheme is adopted by the council, it will be informed by this community engagement. Once adopted by the council, the scheme is forwarded to the West Australian Planning Commission for approval before being formally advertised to the residents and ratepayers townwide for comment. What are the implications of LPS? This is from Mark. What are the implications of LPS for the area bounded by Amendment 17? The area is within the town centre precinct and will be investigated and included in the community engagement as part of the development of the scheme as described in the town's local planning scheme. From Mark, why is LPS 4 concerned with such a small proportion of East Manly and not the entire suburb? The town's local planning scheme was adopted in 2022. It identifies areas of investigation of zoning and density changes to accommodate the state government growth targets required for the town. The local planning strategy is the planning tool that will be implemented or will implement these changes and is required to be consistent with the local planning strategy. There are other technical changes that are required as a result of state government planning reforms that apply to all zones within the town to align with legislative and state planning policy. From Mark, why is the southern side of Fremantle Oval not included in Area F? The land at the southern end of the AFL playing ground is part of the East Mountain Community Park redevelopment. This is Crown Reserve, Class A for recreation and community purposes, and is reserved for regional open space under the MRS, not the local planning scheme. From Mark, in the June Council documents stated that the local planning scheme 3, LPS 3, requires a structural and holistic review to align it with the overarching state government planning framework. Given that about 200 dwellings have already been constructed, suggests that the existing planning scheme, LPS 3, is working. What, therefore, are the reasons why amendments to LPS 3 are deemed not to be sufficient? The Planning and Development Regulations 2015 require local governments to regularly review their local planning schemes. This review process assesses whether the current planning scheme applies with current regulations, policy and growth requirements. In September 2018, the Council considered a scheme report of review and resolved to prepare a new LPS 4. The WAPC advised that it supported the town's scheme report of review and agreed that a new local planning scheme should be prepared following the development and adoption of a local planning strategy for the town. The local planning strategy identifies how the town would accommodate the state government residential growth targets required for the town, and also the state government has made significant modifications to the planning framework and legislation under its planning reform agenda in the last 10 years. LPS 4 is required to align with these changes and the local planning strategy. Page 85 from Mark says about 200 dwellings have already been constructed and that this number is deducted from the figures. On page 88, it states the same numbers, but then says around 200 have been constructed towards achieving this target. So clarity is needed. Do the 200 reduce the numbers to 320 from 520 or to 690 from 890 accordingly. The town has a total target of 890, and which must be reached by 2050. Of the 890, approximately 200 dwellings have been constructed since dwelling targets were established, so it's 690 need to be done. Just to summary, the Department of Planning didn't carry out the remediation works for some problems it had. We were chasing that up. So there will be a new timeline. I think Council was quite happy that DEWA is carrying out those remediation works, because it implies that everything should be done according to best practice. So we're quite confident that that will happen. Okay, and as the LPS, I think we're required to review our LPS every few years. Is that right, Mr. Henderson? Put you on the spot.
For you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, the local planning scheme is required to be reviewed every 5 years, although I note that there's a proposal to extend that to 10 years because no one really does get to that five-year mark, and also to prepare a local planning strategy and review that. And it's the strategy that contains the development targets, which are in state planning documents, and those state planning documents are a minimum target for the town to achieve.
Thank you, Mr. Henderson. And just closing off, if you would like to come down and talk to Mr. Henderson or Ms. Catchpole, you're more than welcome to come down so we can, make sure everyone's on the same page, because we only received, the announcement yesterday about that area, and we were given no prior information about that. So we're pretty keen to find out the design, et cetera, and the social housing. But as I said, they'll be in the minutes with the answers, and we'll give you a copy by email or mail. Yeah. So you're welcome to come down as well, Mark. Okay. All right. Now, I'm not telling you have to go, but no one will be offended if you do. Okay. But thank you again for coming down. Okay. Good night. Now, I'll just... Don't you say it, hear me. So that was that. Presentations, deputations, there is nil. Applications for leave of absence, are there any? Councillor Wilson. Moving on. This brings us to confirmation of minutes of previous meeting, which was the meeting of Council 17th of June, and the recommendation there that the minutes of the Ordinary Council meeting Tuesday 7th of June be confirmed as a true and correct record of proceedings. So I'm willing to move that. Move Councillor Maywood, seconded Councillor Donovan. Being no discussion, I'll put that. All those in favour? It is carried 7-0. Brings us to the special meeting of Council 24th of June 2025, that the minutes of the special meeting of Council held on Tuesday 24th of June 2025 be confirmed as a true and correct record of proceedings. Someone willing to move that? Move Councillor Maywood, seconded Councillor Harrington. No discussion, I'll put that. All those in favour? It's carried 7-0. The special item 9.3, special meeting of Council the 8th of July 2025. The meeting is a special meeting of Council held on Tuesday the 8th of July 2025 be confirmed as true and correct record of proceedings. So I'm willing to move that. Move Councillor Donovan, seconded Councillor Harrington. Is there any further discussion? I'll put that. All those in favour? 7-0, it's carried. Okay. Brings us to 10. Announcements by the presiding member. Firstly, getting used to this, I have to thank the Deputy Mayor for standing in during my absence whilst I travelled the globe. And secondly, make a public announcement that I am not seeking re-election come October 2025. I will, of course, make further comments about that later, but just so I thought I should let the staff and elected members know that first. Okay. And, didn't think it'd have that much an effect on me, but it did. All right. Okay. So I'll say more about that in the next couple of meetings, but thank you. Brings us to 11, unresolved business from previous meetings. There is nil. Reports and recommendations of committees, there is nil. And reports of officers start on the next page. Now, just after I thanked Deputy Mayor Natale, I'll have to ask him to sit in the chair because I'm declaring a 13.1 variation to each amount of bowling croquet licence agreements due to my proximity interests, so I will vacate the chair and leave the chamber. Thank you, Councillor Natale.
That's right. I'm happy not to be here long. Okay, so the mayor has left the chamber. Look, I understand we've discussed this at length. So unless there's any further commentary by the officers, I'll put this motion. If that's agreed. Okay, so can I have please a mover for the motion that I think that on page 12 in respect to the acceptance of the variation of the Eastern Mountain Bowling Club croquet and the licence agreement. Can I have a mover please for the motion? Okay, Councillor Donovan, thank you. And seconded Councillor Harrington, thank you. Councillor Donovan.
Look, as you said, I think everything's been said and done. With this, it was pleasing to eventually have the licence signed off, and I look forward to see what comes next.
Cool. Thank you. Councillor Harrington?
Yeah, Happy with this motion, and I think that, and having discussed it last week, and also seeing the provisions that are in place to monitor the progress of this over the next 6 months and a year probably give us a lot of opportunity to make some changes if there needs to be so.
Thank you. Does anyone want to speak against the motion? Does anyone want to speak for the motion? Okay. Therefore, Councillor Don, would you like to close the discussion?
No other comment.
Nothing? Okay. If there's no further discussion, then I put the motion that's on page 12 to approve the following documents, which is the deed of variation, the boarding licence, the licence agreement between the Town of East Fremantle Belgravia and the East Fremantle Bowls Club, the deed of variation for the croquet club, and the licence agreement between the Town of Belgravia and the East Fremantle Croquet as well, and as well as authorise the CEO to execute the documents and note the Belgravia and the Health Leisure Group as relevant licence holders to the liquor licence, more importantly, to the Director of Liquor and Licensing in respect to the profit share. So if that motion's been put, anyone for the motion, please raise your hands. And that's been carried unanimously. Okay, 6-0. That being said, I then call for the mayor's return. And thank you all.
Okay, recommendation 13.1 was approved as recommended. And moving on to 13.2. Brings us to the communications agreement. Someone willing to move that recommendation? Move Councillor Natale, do I have a second? Councillor Donovan. Councillor Natale.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, thank you for the report. I endorse the report as written. It is noted that this has come out of the reform for local government in which the department and the state government is looking to improve how we function and how we work together, particularly the levels of communications between all parties, and that being to the heart of it, it has been well discussed around the local government sector, and it needs to be, I guess, it needs to be implemented and dealt with as noted in the report. So I endorse the report. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Tarley. Councillor Donovan.
I agree with Councillor Nardi and Natale, sorry. There was lots of discussion in February. I can remember, in fact, it was quite heated because they thought it was extremely over-prescriptive. Especially from the CEOs, who were asked, and every CEO spoke, and they spoke quite passionately and not passionately for the support of it. And Welga, really, they actually are behind it, behind putting the objection regarding the how prescriptive it is. So I think that we have enough representation to at least hopefully get some changes through when they have the State Council meeting and also through Welga lobbying for us. And I think it's wise that we just wait and see what happens.
Thank you, Councillor Donovan. Anyone wishing to speak against? Anyone wishing to speak for? No one wishes to speak anymore. Councillor Natale.
Nothing further, Mayor. Thank you.
Okay, there being no further discussion, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour? It is carried 7-0. That moves us on to 13.3, the end of year office closure policy. Okay, someone willing to move the end of year office closure policy? Move Councillor Maywood. Do I have a seconder? Councillor Harrington. Councillor Maywood.
Thank you, Chair. The report speaks for itself, and we've discussed this previously at the Concept Forum, but I'm happy to support the officer's recommendation as a way to create efficiency in the town and also, I guess, create more certainty for staff making leave arrangements during the holiday period. So very happy to support the officer's recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Maywood. Councillor Harrington.
I think I wished I could have made that better, but I can't, because it's absolutely sensible that we should do this. So I am happy to support the motion.
Thank you, Councillor Harrington. Anyone wishing to speak against? Councillor Maywood.
Nothing further, Chair.
There being no further discussion, I'll put that. All those in favour? It is carried unanimously. Brings us to 13.4, the deferral of the June monthly financial report. Someone willing to move that? Move Councillor Tarley, do I have a seconder? Councillor Wilson? Okay. Mr. Koshin would like to say a few words. Thank you.
So through the Chair, this item is effectively seeking Council's endorsement of deferring the June monthly financial report until after end of year accounting processes have been finalised, as has the case been in prior years. Just in terms of forewarning, we are dealing with a fairly significant issue with the Office of Auditor General at the moment, which will impact on the presentation of the town's accounts for the 24-25 financial year, and that's in relation to the accounting treatment of the operations of East Fremantle Community Park. I did have lengthy discussions with the office today, and effectively they'll be looking to impose requirements on the town to recognise the consolidated position of the operations of East Fremantle Community Park in the town's financial accounts, meaning that effectively we need to recognise all of the revenues and expenses of East Fremantle Community Park in our statement of comprehensive income, as well as recognise the balance sheet position of East Fremantle Community Park in our statement of financial position. So there are certainly some limitations in terms of the reporting that Belgravia can provide to the town, and it's up in the air at the moment as to whether or not they'll be able to meet those requirements. So we're working through that negotiation with the Office of Auditor General, and we'll provide a further status update to the Audit Committee at its August meeting.
Thank you. Mr. Koshin. Councillor Tarley.
Thank you for that information. That's just more work for local government by the Office of the Auditor General. That's disappointing to hear. But I think the report speaks for itself in terms of what you're trying to achieve, and I dare say you might need some more assistance. So I look forward to the discussion in August, I guess. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Tarley. Councillor Wilson.
Nothing further to add. Thanks.
Anyone wishing to speak against? Councillor Tarley.
Nothing further. Thank you, Mayor.
Being no further discussion, I will put that. All those in favour? It is carried unanimously. This brings us to 13.5, accounts for payment. Do I have someone willing to move that? Move Councillor Wilson, do I have a seconder? Councillor Tarley. Councillor Wilson.
Yeah, through the Chair, if you please buy me some time to ask a few questions. Happy to move, but have a couple. EFT 39413, 50% contribution to the cost of new blinds and flooring at Glyde Inn. Just wondering how that has come about. I don't recall anything on that.
Mr. Koshin?
So through the Chair, each year we do ask the Glyde Inn as to whether or not they have any capital budget requests for the following year. So under the lease agreement, the town is required to effectively support structural maintenance of that building. So I believe in the 24-25 budget year, we may have contributed to the replacement of the fence between the Glyde Inn and Glasson Park. And this year we had a request to upgrade the flooring and the window treatments. So we did have some available budget in the 24-25 financial year. So we've funded 50% of the contribution out of last year's budget, and then 50% from this year's approved budget.
Thank you.
EFT 39481, Alchemy Technology. Just an explanation in regards to the software maintenance. I recall all of our IT services are being provided from a different provider. This seems to be...
So through the chair, you are correct that we do purchase a majority of our software licences through Focus, who are a retailer for Microsoft. This particular software is the software for the Neighbourhood Link program and enables the town's reporting to the Commonwealth Department. There have been some significant increases in reporting requirements, which has triggered an upgrade to our IT systems at Neighbourhood Link. So whilst this payment refers to the subscription of the licence for next year, we have been successful in obtaining a grant for around $9,000 to upgrade the IT systems to enable the required reporting to the department, which will feature as a future payment.
Okay, thank you. And there was two items, but I've only highlighted one here, EFT 39553 relates to emergency repairs and sewage overflow. My question is not so much in regards to the payment and the transaction, is more potentially through to the Officer for Technical Services. I recall a number of years ago we had some sewage issues at the tennis club, and I'm assuming that the East Fremantle Lawn Tennis Club, am I correct that that's the same establishment? And I'm just curious in regards to this as a risk identification for septic tank sewage issues being highlighted more so than a payment issue, and potentially that's one, given the change in the manager for technical services to potentially put some focus on potentially with the close proximity to the river and a number of the sewage systems there. So not so much a question, maybe you could go into the details. And there was another block toilet one, and I was wondering if they were related.
So, Mr. Cushing.
So through the chair, I'm happy to defer to Jack shortly. But in relation to the Lawn Tennis Club, you are correct that as part of the upgrade of facilities that were undertaken a few years ago, the DBCA imposed a requirement for them to upgrade from septic to main sewer. The tennis club were required to fund the main sewer connection themselves. You may recall a discussion with council around, I guess, the machinery of how that was funded. But under that agreement, once the main sewer connection had been installed, the town was required to accept ongoing responsibility for the maintenance of that service, hence why that cost has been incurred. In relation to the risk of a number of, I guess, river facilities still on septic that haven't yet been changed over to main sewer, I believe we haven't fully investigated the extent of the number of facilities still remaining on septic and the cost of moving over to a main sewer. I'm sure Jack has made some observations in her short time with the town. Are you comfortable in making a brief comment, Jack?
Ms. Scott?
Through the chair. Yeah, there's not too much specific I can say at this moment in time, because as Peter says, I am relatively new in the chair, but certainly we've identified a need to look a lot more closely at both the assets that we manage and also the assets that we lease, and to ensure that we are meeting our responsibilities and that those assets are properly managed. And that, you know, that goes beyond drainage, really, and sewerage. It goes to all elements of our facilities and how we manage them going forward. So it is something we're going to need to look at, and it's something I think that'll take a little bit of time.
Yeah. Thank you, Ms. Scott.
Yeah, Councillor Wilson.
Yeah, if I may, I guess my question sits more in terms of the audit and risk, in terms of is it worthwhile reviewing that, because I note it hasn't been highlighted on any risk register in the past, and I guess sewage contamination in terms of land and into the river may pose a significant risk depending on the condition, number and status. I understand it may require further investigation, but recall it's not on any risk register.
Through the chair, yes, that's something that we'll add.
Thank you. Nothing further.
So, Councillor Wilson, you move the recommendation. Would you wish to speak for it?
Happy as the report as presented. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councillor Tarley.
Look, thank you, Mayor. I have only one comment. The payment in regards to the Kwinana Energy Recovery, that payment refers to a December payment. That seems to be quite an old payment, given that so the concern isn't the payment, the concern is the lateness of that and the impact for future payments, that if that's going to the waste energy plant. So through to the Executive Manager of Financial Services, maybe, question?
Through the chair, can you repeat what EFT number that refers to?
It is 39573. Payment to the Kwinana Energy Recovery Plant, 39573.
Through the chair, I did note an earlier payment to Kwinana Energy Recovery, which was for the month of April. So all I can assume without fully investigating that one is that we did receive the invoice late. So we do have some internal controls where we monitor the number of days that creditor accounts remain outstanding, and certainly there weren't any red flags that that one was more than 30 days. So I assume that it was received late and processed within our normal terms of trade, but happy to look further into that one.
I guess my concern is that we're crossing over to a new budget year, and I know waste costs can be expensive. I would hope for past year's expenses being put forward, that's all. So it's maybe if we can look at ensure that all waste costs associated with that recovery is dealt with. Thank you.
Through the chair, we do review open purchase orders at the end of the year to ensure that we are recognising accruals for, I guess, all accounts relevant to the period. We have recently just received advice of the increase in unit rates through Veolia for waste collection and disposal. However, I can't recall receiving advice from the Kwinana Energy Facility regarding increase in rates for the 25-26 year. I presume that will be forthcoming.
You okay with that, Councillor?
Absolutely. Nothing further, and I'll endorse the report as written. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone wishing to speak against? Councillor Wilson?
No, nothing further to add.
There be no further discussion. I'll put that. All those in favour? It is carried unanimously. Now, this brings us to 13.6, the recommendation regarding the CARG membership. Can I have someone move that this be held behind closed doors? And I will ask Ms. Browning if she could put up the procedural motion. Thank you. The meeting be closed to public discuss item 18.1 under the terms of the Local Government Act. Someone willing to move that? Move Councillor Tarley, second Councillor Collinson. I will put that. All those in favour? It is carried unanimously 7-0.